Okay, we're continuing in Ahavat Yisrael. We're up to the fourth chapter. And here the Chafetz Chaim is going to explain how focused a person has to be to remove hatred from his heart. The average Jew believes in the 13 principles of faith. And you could be certain that the average Jew is part of God's lot, he's part of God's nation. And God loves him. Kedichtiv, as the verse says in Malachi, Ahavti etchem amar Hashem. God says to the Jewish people, I love you. Ve'od ktiv ki me'avat Hashem etchem, the verse says in Devarim, that it's because God loves you that he guided you this way. Ve'od ktiv, and we have a pasuk in Devarim that says in Parshas Re'eh, Banim atem l'Hashem Elokechem. God says, you're my children. Ve'od obe psukim amorim godel ahavat Hashem itbarach la'am Yisrael. We have many psukim that point to the great love that Hashem, blessed be He, has for the people of Israel. How can a person move his soul to hate someone that God loves? You know that God's going to hold it against you. Ulmashal, for example, Hine b'teva kol av le'ohav et bno ahava azah. The nature of every father is to have fantastic love for his son. And a person works very hard so that his children will have it good even after he passes away. And when a person meets someone who hates his children, you're going to find him having a serious issue with that person. The same is true with what we're discussing. If someone maintains hatred towards his friend, you should know that if you hate a Jew, then God has a serious issue with you. Who's foolish enough to want to have a serious issue with God? You know, it's hard enough to deal with a human being that has an issue with us. How much more so if God, the King of all kings, has an issue with a person? Obviously, you got to be careful not to enter that situation. So point number one, a person has to realize that God loves every Jew. And so if you hate someone, you're hating someone that God loves. Number two, levant kol zeh lo yedua dechol evrei adam muchanim kol achad v'echad al inyanim ha-shayachim lo. We know that every limb is prepared for its responsibilities. Lemashal, for example, ha-pelach nisbo ma'achal, your mouth is prepared to ingest food. Ha-shinayim nitchon behem ta-ma'achal, the teeth are prepared to masticate the food. Ha-oznayim nishmoa behem, the ears are prepared to listen. Ha-lashon ledaber bo, the tongue is prepared to speak. Ha-lev lachshov bo machshavot, and the heart is prepared to think. והנה לו יצויר אם אחד רואה את חברו שלא עס בשיניו בשר נבלה או טריפה מהבוקר עד הערב, בוודאי ים תואב בעיניו עבור זה. Imagine you saw someone sitting all day long chewing a non-kosher meat. That's his gum, all day he's chewing non-kosher meat. Undoubtedly, if you saw that, you'd be disgusted with the person. משום שכתוב צובח ואומר. The verse wails at us and says, אל תתמאו בכל אלה. Don't defile yourself with these non-kosher foods. And look at him defiling himself actively. If a person maintains enmity against his friend, he also has to think about this. We were given a heart to use our heart to have positive thoughts, holy thoughts. And a person uses that heart to sin, to think improper thoughts over his friend. That's the hatred that's hidden and firmly implanted in his heart. The verse wails at us and says, we are prohibited from hating our brethren in our heart. Why is this any different than a person who's eating non-kosher food all day? Just as we understand that someone that eats non-kosher defiles his mouth, by the same token, one who hates is defiling his own heart. והלאיש הנבונים בעייצר לפתותו לזנות חברו צריך להוכיחו על פנה ולומר לו, what should a person do if he finds himself aroused to hate his friend? How does one deal with that yetzer hara? He feels, the guy cut me in line. He saw I was about to take that last yogurt and he took it. There wasn't enough bread at supper and he took the last slice. And he already had 10. So he's starting to feel something's moving within. What's he supposed to do? He should turn to himself and say, Malecha Yitzri. What are you getting all riled up about? Tamid tirdefeni umfateh oti lisnot chaveri. I know. You're the part of me that is always chasing after me and seducing me to hate my friend. Halo b'chol rega v'rega sh'incha machnis sina b'libi al chaveri, harei ata machnis b'sar chazir mamash lefi. Every minute that you're trying to get me to hate my friend, you're giving me pork to eat, right? You're just giving me pork. And this is a very powerful thing, you should know. I use this often. When people try to get me to talk Lashon Hara, so I very often say, where can we buy pork? So they say, what do you want pork for? I say, well, it's very simple. Pork, I've never tasted. Lashon Hara, I've done. Pork, it's one laugh. Lashon Hara is many. And pork, you know what? I'll be full after I eat it. Lashon Hara, I have nothing after I've done it. So let's go eat pork. Come on, it's a better Aveira than talking this Lashon Hara. So people are always... people are always taken aback when I say that.
Yeah, it's but very instructional.
What?
It's very instructional. It's very...
That is
you guys have never been to the Shabbos table when I said that?
How often do you say that?
Too often. No, it's a common line by me. I often say. By now, I guess you guys haven't been by us enough. By now? Right, I guess whenever you're there, no one tries to say Lashon Hara. And no, it's enough. Usually it's enough that I change the topic. But sometimes people are insistent. They say, no, what really happened there? And I try to change the topic. And they say, no, I want to know. You're not going to change the topic on me. And I say, okay, I won't change the topic, but let's go eat pork instead. So people are very taken aback. But it's true. So if a person talks to himself that way, and he says, why are you trying to arouse, why are you getting aroused to hate this other person? It's literally, it's like taking pork and eating it. And he tells himself, he tells his yetzer, you're arousing me to hate him. I don't get it. Why should I really hate him? I know he didn't really do anything against me. And you're trying to get me to suspect people who really have done nothing wrong. You know what? I'm upset at you. I should really hate you, the yetzer hara. You're trying to get me to hate my neighbor Reuven. You hate me more than you hate him. You're causing me to be hated in the eyes of Hashem. You're causing me to be one that Hashem is disgusted with. You want me to transgress the sin of hating my friend in my heart? Moment after moment, what a weighty sin. I know you, Yetzer Hara, you're a liar. Whenever I try to perform a mitzvah, you have different claims to seduce me not to do the mitzvah. And on the contrary, if a sin comes my way, and I want to withhold myself and not transgress, I know you. You always have claims. You always tell me, well, maybe this way is okay. And you're not really sure. It's a problem. And now you could always ask about it tomorrow. Come on, why don't you live a little? All kinds of claims you try to get me to give in. If I wouldn't have overcome you with Hashem's kindness many times, if I'd have listened to you, I'd be sunk in sins. I couldn't even calculate how sinful my life would have been. So a smart person has this conversation with his Yetzer. And I think a part of it is also having the wisdom to recognize who's saying what. Very often we like to ignore that it's the Yetzer Hara. We call it all kinds of other things. What do you mean? He is a bum. I know him. He's my roommate. He's not fair. He's not nice. He's not considerate. Of course I'm going to hate him. What do you mean? Okay, I won't say I hate him. I'll think he's not a nice person. I'll say all kinds of other things. We have other excuses. And the Chafetz Chaim says, stop, call spade a spade. Think to yourself, what's really getting me to hate this person? Why? And what's going to come of it? And is that the type of person I want to be? Is that the type of life I want to lead? The person has to stop and think about it. And it helps to talk it out. To talk out what you hold against him to yourself and why you think it's positive. Let's take a simple example. The guy took the last slice of bread off the table. Everyone knows there isn't enough bread. And you came down for supper, you sat down at the table, and this guy who just gorged his face out took the last slice. So you're sitting there looking, and you both just heard that there's no more bread in the lunchroom. And you're going to leave the table hungry. It's not a nice thing you did. No one says it's a nice thing you did. And to make matters worse, he looks at you, smiles, and winks. It's very funny, isn't it? If you stop and think about it, what are you going to gain? What are you going to lose? And that's really part of the thoughts a person has to think. I can walk away from this table and hate him. I won't say I hate him. I'll just say he's not a nice man. Okay? But we all know that that's semantics. Deep down inside, you're pretty ticked at the guy. And you wouldn't mind to have 3 days now not to talk to him, which we said is the biblical definition of hating a person. When you don't want to talk to a person for 3 days because of that feeling. Now, if he's really wrong, so you can tell him, look, I'll tell you the truth. I'm going to be hungry tonight. I don't think it was so nice that you took it. Now, very often you know that you're going to say that and you're going to get a line in retort. Ah, come on, don't be a baby.
Or a punch in the face.
Punch in the face? That's true. No, he speaketh from experience, not in Mahon Meir. But he was somewhere else where he got a punch in the face. And the guy took his slice of bread.
No, I took his seat,
No, it wasn't that Mahon Meir. It was someone else.
No, but the question is sometimes you need to put a board that you can say, not of course the person that punched, but sometimes you need to say, you do it over time, every once in a while.
He said you can protest. No one said you should give in. The question is two things. A, you can protest. You can say, hey, wait a second, before he ate that, I didn't have any bread. You can do that. And if he ate it already, or he just took a bite out of it and you're not interested in having it anymore, you know how they do that. Sure, here, you can have some. You guys have never had that?
Yeah. Maybe not dafka like that, but...
Right.
Not so much
So, at any rate, you can express your protest, you know, but the question is, are you going to walk away with what feelings towards him and ask yourself, why?
Okay, I do remember now a question. Sometimes people have their hot-headed people. It's better to cool off. And that can take a week or something else. It's not the hate is entering his heart. The hate is coming up. And sometimes it happens that you might not see the person. You know, you won't talk to him in 2 days. And it happens that you don't see the person.
I like in such situations to find someone who doesn't know any one of us and talk it out with them. And I find that if I talk to someone who doesn't know, so then I could talk and talk and talk and talk, and A, sometimes they'll point out something to me I didn't know. I'll tell you a story that happened to me. About 2 weeks ago, I got a very insulting email. I was trying to help someone, and they wrote me an email that I was devastated. So I asked a friend of mine who didn't know any of the parties involved. I printed out the email, and I said to him, I want to think through with you how I'm supposed to interpret an email like this. Okay. I came to him with the email. He didn't know the parties involved. Right? I didn't do the other party. I didn't do them anything wrong. I was sach hakol trying to help them. And they wrote me an email that I thought was really not nice. Okay, so I printed out the email. I went to a friend of mine and I said, how do you interpret this email? I said to him, this is the story. This is what I did. This is what this guy sent me. He reads the email and he says, I think you're overreacting. He said, what do you mean? You think it's nice to write like this and that and other thing? He said, he didn't mean it personally. He was asking you facts. I said, what do you mean he's asking me facts? He's asking me facts that infer he's questioning whether I was honest in this, whether that. He said, no, he's asking you for facts, and you're reading into it the way you read it. He was right. I know because from the continuation of the conversation, it was very clear that the guy didn't mean to infer that he didn't trust me. The guy just wanted to know the facts. I was wrong, he was right. Sometimes we get if we take it and we show it to someone else, then we can express what we see, and sometimes we're seeing it wrong. And even if we're seeing it right, so then by talking to someone, we could again, you have to adhere to the laws of Lashon Hara. You can't badmouth someone, but no. So I don't think a person should wait. A person has to work it out and find a way to come to terms with the other person. Yeah. I don't know. If you're in the right, so then the question is, what will you gain by the protest? But sometimes you have to protest anyways. Sometimes you have to protest even if you're going to be, you're not going to win.
What are you going to gain?
You have to express what's right. Sometimes you do. Sometimes it's enough to say that wasn't nice.
Sometimes, not all the time.
It depends on what's going to result. Meaning, if what's going to ensue is that he's going to throw at you the Gvina Levana, then you didn't gain anything, right?
Okay.
If you get two punches in the face like he did, then you didn't gain anything.
Okay.
But if you protested and, you're entitled to say, look, I'm sorry, I'm going to be hungry tonight, and that's not nice. And that's legitimate. It's the truth.
And this is only if he had Kavana.
So that's the next thing. Very often we assume the guy meant it and the guy didn't mean it. And that's something which happens often, and that's part of what happens when you protest, that the guy could get very insulted and say to you, I don't understand, you're not going to have bread? And you'll say, didn't you just hear them announce that there's no more bread? And he'll say, no, I didn't hear it. And suddenly you're going to be the dunce. Because you judged him madly, which also often happens. But you know what? If you don't put it on the table, you'll never know. And that's happened to me many times. I didn't mean you'll be the dunce. I mean the one protesting. Yeah, that's happened to me, yeah. Oh, boy. And then you suddenly realize, oh.
That sounds like a very
but at least you resolved something. You're not walking around hating him.
Right. I mean, I think that's the big one. You're not walking around hating him.
Right? So let's hear him. The Chafetz Chaim is going to address how we resolve Sinat Chinam in the next chapter.
Sometimes, like this person, and there are things that I bowish him with time, I have many years to correct that. There are small things still out there that tick me off. It takes me like a few hours to cool down. I don't say anything, I just say, this will pass. And that's this. There is no point for me to call someone into attention. Just like maybe some things that will bother me. And maybe other people should be bothered, but
they
don't care.
Maybe, but I would suggest two things. A, ask yourself if it's you or them. And B, I think it's better and safer and nicer to ask a question rather than make an accusation.
But sometimes you need to let it go. That's the way, that's the way, right?
Let's see. Let's hear him out. Yeah.
One's behavior, you are how you act and how you do and what you don't do, but is it wrong to dislike one's behavior? You don't necessarily have to dislike the person.
Let's hear him out.
Okay.
Let's wait and see. And I wonder if we're on the level to separate between the person and the action. Theoretically,
okay.
Yes.
Okay.
כללו של דבר, אחרי ניסיון זמן רב, אחרי פשפוש במעשים רעים שעשיתי, הנני מוצא כי אתה בעצמך גורם אותי לכך. Person continues telling his Yetzer Hara, bottom line, after having some experience with you and looking over my actions, I find that you are the major cause for everything I did wrong. וכמאמר כתוב ואליך תשוקתו פירוש רש"י שם שתמיד היצר שוקק ומתהווה להכשילך. The Yetzer Hara is described as the one with great desire, that he's always desiring to cause a person to stumble. ומהיום והלאה אין לי שום תורם ושנאה על חברי. And then a person tells his Yetzer Hara, quite the contrary, from now on, I don't have any enmity, I don't have any claims against my friend. Yivachei Hashem b'chol inyanav, may Hashem bless my friend in all his issues. Uvadayim yasim adam dvarim elu negdo, az ubatuch shelo yilechet min tzudat yitzro hara. And undoubtedly, if a person focuses on these things, then he won't be entrapped by the trap of his yetzer hara. V'tasur asinam libo, mishum de'atei dibur shem varcho, umvatel machshavto harishona. He could remove the hatred because by saying I bless him, he can annul his first thoughts. So personally, he says, if a person can bring himself to a point where he says, I bless him, you're wrong, I have no reason to hate him, so then he can overcome the yetzer hara. So his first point in this chapter was that a person should realize that Hashem loves his fellow man, and so if he's hating someone Hashem loves, he's in troubled waters. And secondly, if he'd see a person munching on pork all day, he'd be upset at him. So what about if he puts into his heart hatred, that's a sin, and then he's focused on that, and then he has a sin in his heart all day. So that's a problem he should take seriously. And finally, he quoted the conversation he should have with his heart, telling him, "You're it's as though you were giving me pork every minute when you're trying to get me to hate him. I'm not going to listen to you. You've only led me astray. I, quite the contrary, from here on I have no claims against my friend, and I bless him." And that's a way to overcome the Yetzer Ra for Sinat Chinam.